Thursday edition. The California residency continues edition. Oh, changing up the camera angle a little bit, though. I like it. Edition. The Jordan Love spoke, we listened. Sounds to me like a guy who's playing, as opposed to last week when he sounded to me like a guy trying to convince us that he might play.
We got that audio edition. Yet from old T? From a couple
we're never
going
to have the audio.
Why?
Now you find it.
Good one. Okay, I will. You know what?
No, you won't.
Great. No, I'm going to do it right now. Keep talking. I'll send
well,
it
we
got.
We still got to do the show.
Well, I can produce and do the show. It's not that big a deal. Jesse does it sometimes.
Somebody call Chrissy and Pablo to fill in edition.
No trainees today. I'm all by myself.
I know. Look at you.
I can't handle this.
And late night with Badger Volleyball.
Oh, my God. Am I tired? This was a mistake.
God, we're so lucky to have someone like you on our team edition of Wilde and Tausch. Now the video just went out. On 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. You're off to a strong start there, Nelly. ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker. Streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. If you heard Jesse's Sports Center at the top of the hour in Madison, we got Jeff Levering joining us at 9:30, 7:30 Pacific time to talk Brewers, one of our favorites. And then another of our favorites, Charles Woodson, scheduled to appear at noon Eastern, 11 Central, 9 Pacific. Tell Davenport we're trying to do a show here. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And from his undisclosed location, where they have three dogs and a lovely home, and the IT department is not even there, and Tausch is doing this all by himself, it is the Packers Hall of Famer and recent California resident, Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, why do I have to continue to tell you I'm not a California resident?
Because you've been there for so long.
It's been a while. It's been a minute. I think everybody involved thinks it's been a minute. So even the dogs are like, hey, when the hell are you leaving? And it's soon. It's soon, Barry and all these others. Ace, and I can't remember the other dog's name. So, quick question. You guys, I've had this discussion as I've taken many trips over the course of the 8 years on this show, or nine, whatever it is.
Indeed.
Would you consider me a foodie?
In what context?
There's no context. Am I considered a foodie?
Do you eat a lot of food, would you say?
Well, I mean, obviously, I eat a lot of food. Thanks for the cheap. I mean, that's a cheap blow, but it's fair.
That's not what I said. I asked you if you
did. You're being a jerk, and that's okay. What constitutes being a foodie?
Being very knowledgeable in the various aspects of the food which you are consuming.
You think the knowledge is more important than the curiosity in trying to, like, that?
Curiosity is part of it, too. Sure.
I would define it as passion for the art of the culinary arts. Passion for the culinary arts.
The Department of Redundancy Department.
Passion for the culinary arts.
So you think it's more about the prep of it and the history of it and where the ingredients come from and blah, blah, blah. Not, Ben, that is really good. I like that. Boom, boom, boom.
No, so, it can all be encompassed by that because sometimes it can be about...
Well, what's the most important component to it?
I think Anthony Bourdain has set the bar, right? RIP. Like, he tried different things. He traveled the world to, in large part. I mean, you want to talk about somebody who food makes or breaks a trip.
Yeah, Bourdain.
Yeah, he's the guy, right? And so I would say you have some foodie tendencies, but I would also add that you, I don't know if, because let me be clear. I do not have the type of palate required to be a foodie. There are too many things I don't like. I'm too finicky of an eater. I will not try things that I know are in contain ingredients I don't like.
Okay.
You know, you don't like mint.
I don't like mint.
I don't know what else is on that list, though.
It's pretty limited.
I feel like you're willing to try everything. So yep. I don't think you have devoted enough effort to food-related pursuits to be considered a foodie. But I think you've got some foodie tendencies. That's what I would say.
So not cheap a shots foodie, notwithstanding. But, yeah, not a foodie, but I have the potential to become one.
Yeah, with more free time, so you should quit the show and just devote yourself to eating all the time.
You're like a foodie apprentice. After this last week, I might be doing that. Foodie apprentice. So one of the things...
What? He knows his way around a charcuterie board.
This episode of Wildy and Tao is filmed in front of a live studio audience.
So one of the things Matt and I went and had lunch yesterday at like his little pizza spot. And it's a great little spot. They brought out a chopped salad prior to bringing out a pizza that you could share. And it was very reasonable. And
did you share the salad like you shared the tacos?
Well, the salad had the tongue, so you could share the salad, sure. And there wasn't, like, stuff, okay. Right? So it was not uncomfortable or awkward, as the tacos may have been. So, as Matt likes to do, he loves to try and put me in an uncomfortable situation, but it usually doesn't work.
What are friends for?
He goes into this place, and he acts like he's Norm from Cheers, but nobody really knew his name. Until he gave the credit card to show, you know, what his name was. And then she's like, oh, hey, Matt, great to see you. She never said that prior to it. So whatever that case may be.
Okay.
But as the dude comes over to get the – so he had like three different waiter, waitresses, hostesses, whatever it might be.
Servers.
He basically makes it out like I'm Dave Portnoy. Like the dude from Barstool that does pizza reviews. Because he wants to get special treatment – and he thinks that they're going to give me, you know, what ends up happening is I think he thought that I maybe had a Portnoy type blog to do pizza reviews as a foodie. And they ended up taking, I'm seeing everybody that sits down next to us getting pizzas and salads immediately. And I think they redid our pizza twice because they're afraid I was going to give it a bad grade. And it wasn't the crispy Tuscan New Haven style that they were pushing. So it ended up completely backfiring. We didn't get the meal comp, which is what I think he was hoping. And the whole thing ended up kind of being a shine show because he tried to make it out like I was Dave Portnoy. Does that make sense?
It does. Do you think Dav actually believed that you had a pizza blog or?
Well, Dav knows I don't have a pizza blog.
Okay. But. What did he say? I'm
no,
sorry.
I will say this.
Couldn't hear him.
I did. We played the game. I took it because he comes over after 40 minutes, which, again, it probably takes 12
minutes. The pizza guy does. The pizza guy comes over.
And he comes over and starts explaining it like I would be a foodie. Like I am Bourdain. Like it's, okay, we did this and we put this spicy honey on there, which, by the way, honey on pizza, give it a thumbs up. Pretty good little add to crisp it up. But I did look at, like the undercarriage, and he's explaining it like
the
this
undercarriage.
Is what they do. Undercarriage,
you're definitely
of a pizza.
Not a foodie.
No, you guys don't know that you have to have the undercarriage of the pizza has to be strong to withhold the toppings and everything else on the pizza.
You mean the crust?
You can call it a crust if you're an amateur. If you're a foodie and an expert, you go with an undercarriage.
So well, that's the under part of my dog that I need to give a bath to.
I did mention to him, boy, you got a good crispy undercarriage on this pie.
Jeez.
So
and immediately he knew you weren't a foodie.
That is true. He ended up sending somebody else over to describe the honey and what, you know, it's a homegrown honey that they put on the pie. So we didn't get the pie on the house. I think he thought I was a foodie. And then we discussed for about 2 hours afterwards that I'm not a foodie under any way, shape, or form. So that was kind of the synopsis.
But the pizza was good when you eventually got it.
Yeah, the pizza was fine. It's a good pie.
So where did you ultimately land on whether or not you are a foodie in your own mind?
No, I am definitely a foodie in my own mind.
Okay, that's kind of where I thought you landed.
Yeah. I mean, it makes or breaks trips to me. I think it's a big part
except when it doesn't.
If you go to Machu Picchu, the Machu Picchu component, but if you go to Italy, food is obviously a huge component. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, you didn't like the pizza there, Mr. Foodie. It wasn't as good as America.
No, it was not. No.
All right. Well, as much as I am fascinated by your foodie tendencies, I do believe that you have some foodie to you. I would not put you in the category of a elite level foodie as opposed to elite level left tackle or right tackle.
So would someone that would eat a beet egg salad not be a foodie? And nobody's eating a beet egg salad.
I'm not.
And by the way, it was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. So that's why I think for the most part, I'll try anything and I want to learn about it. That to me is what a foodie's about.
What does Sarah think? What does old girl think? Would she consider you a foodie? Is she herself a foodie?
I don't know if she considers. That's a great question. I'll give you a quick little note as far as what she said. A little bit. You like good food and trying new things, but you aren't someone who blogs about it. So now if I'm a foodie, I have to blog?
No, but I would argue that I don't know how knowledgeable you are about it. Like, I feel like there's a level of you're definitely interested in eating it, and you certainly are happy to talk about it, as evidenced this morning. But, like, knowing the ins and outs of how the food is prepared and what the crucial little, like when I watch these food cooking shows where they, like, compete, the judges are always talking about, like, there's the sweet and the savory and the how this and that are paired and how you get...
Did you miss when I just was talking about honey on pizza?
No, I heard that. Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, the undercarriage.
But when you usually talk about food, I don't hear you kind of breaking down the different flavors and how this drew out that and whatever. So I think you're in the discussion, but I don't think I would put foodie as your title.
I think Max might be more of a foodie than you are.
Mm-hmm.
When you're saying he's frying up those steak burgers and everything that you're doing, and like he seems like more of the culinary connoisseur.
He's probably more foodie-ish than I am. Yeah, I think that's probably fair.
Meanwhile, we've got kind of like the YouTube comments. We got Josh DiMaggio basically having a conversation with himself in our group text.
Well, he finds himself fascinating, which is good.
Talking about beer dorks. And look, we know you're not a connoisseur of various beers. You're a Coors Light guy. But there are people that are very interested in, this one's got wine, another example. Like, I just feel like there's a next level of knowledge and interest and getting deep into the details that you're not quite at on the foodie thing.
Yeah.
I know one person who is big on details.
Yeah.
That's Gina Della and Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Yes, indeed. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. The window and door equivalent of hitting for the cycle. Pella manufactures all of their own products. Each one of those products gets tested thousands of times to ensure it withstands the test of time. And quality craftsmanship and innovative design, they are built into every Pella product. For timeless beauty and performance, order by September 30th. Get as low as $18 per window, $81 per patio door per month. Visit PellaWI.com today to learn more.
We'll get ready for Jeff Levering. We also heard from the Packers' starting quarterback, Jordan Love, who I think will indeed be the starting quarterback for the game that Tausch was going to go to.
I told you that on September 9th, around an hour and 10 minutes into the show, Jesse.
Did you find it yet?
I did. It's not that hard to find.
Maybe we'll hear that before the end of the show. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
We'll get to Jeff Levering momentarily. Before we talk to him, though, let's talk a little bit about the Packers and Tausch is going back in the archives, getting how he told you that this would be the game that Jordan Love would return for. And he's going to be right if we ever get that audio. But Tausch, I'm not kidding here. I'm a little worried about him. And I understand that I'm a worrier by nature and all the things that go with me being me. But this is a defense that has 16 sacks. This is a defensive...
The scary Vikings. Oh, don't go out there, Jordan. I'm so scared.
I'm not... I do think that if your quarterback is not 100% and... I don't have a cup available, but this bomb is mobile. And not as mobile as he normally would be. That's not an ideal combination. And it's going to be on that offensive line. And, you know, I talked to a few of the guys yesterday, you know, Josh Myers, Elton Jenkins, Rashid Walker, who was very polite, but really had no interest in discussing penalties. Man, I don't want to talk about that. Ask me something else. But it's going to be on them because, and I don't know, Tausch, if there were times with Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre where you felt this, but when your quarterback is not as mobile as he normally would be, isn't there a ratcheted up responsibility that you feel as his protector to make sure that you are on top of your game? I mean, I know you want to play great every game. I get it. But isn't it a little bit ratcheted up when he's not going to be able to move the way he normally would?
I don't know if I'd say it's ratcheted up. I think you could say, well, look, do you think now Zach Thomas saying, boy, I better hold my block for another second? No. I think this is more about game planning and understanding, well, let's move him into the pistol so he doesn't have to maybe go out from under center as much. And it's more about that. I don't think it's as much as you'd think, where it's like, okay, let's win one for the Gipper because our guy's not quite there. No, you're always going to do everything you can to try and protect. It's more about the game plan and the thought process and how much we're going to move him outside of the pocket and how much we're going to do RPO and some of the other things that you're asking a quarterback to do. That's more where I think you would focus on what that'll look like in comparison to, all right, hey, Josh, you got to pass that stunt off better this week because of this. You're trying to do that anyways. So I don't take a ton of credence in, well, now that he's hurt, we have to do this. It's more when Malik Willis is in there, okay, now we need to, you know, we have to even be that much more crisp and better. I think it's more along those lines than, all right, his knee's not 100%, so – all right, boys, let's make sure we give him an extra 2 seconds because you try to do that if he's healthy as well.
Yeah, I guess maybe it's not an urgency thing. Maybe it's not a trying harder type thing. You just know that you have to be on your game.
And you got an article that you're trying to write that has something to do with
no,
that.
No, no.
Oh, really?
It, no, because I don't operate that way.
Mm.
If players,
I know you think some people do. Who does?
I don't know. It's a good question. I'll have to get back to you on that. But the bottom line is that if guys talk that way, I'm going to use the quotes that they say and not continue with my theory. If they disprove it, they disprove it. Now that said, it's still going to be a challenging matchup, and they are going to have to play well, regardless of whether they play harder or not. Because this is a group that gets after the quarterback, and Jordan Love is, again, he is not Lamar Jackson. He is not, looking to run constantly. I don't think he'll be hitting Malik Willis's 73 rushing yards from Sunday.
I'd agree with that.
He likes to move with subtle movements within the pocket and then escape to throw off-schedule throws for big plays.
Did you say supple or subtle?
Subtle. Subtle?
Oh, I thought you said supple.
Supple. I'm not going to go anywhere with that. I'm going to let that pass. So whether or not he's effective in doing that is going to be really interesting to me. And we'll see. And look, how many people are you nodding to at Matt's house?
They got a lot of people over here. A lot of dogs.
You're nodding to the dogs? Hey, Barry.
Yeah. Why do you? How is it that you get distracted and I don't?
No, you're distracted. Come on, be honest.
No, I'm not distracted.
You're such a pro. Is this on my screen, or is there something wrong with Dav's TV? Looks like there's some dots on it. Is that from the lighting? What is that?
God, you are such a child. You're a 55-year-old child.
I'm not 55. Thank you very much. All right, we need to get to Jeff Levering. I'd like to get to him on time. So what are your expectations for Love, then? If I'm not writing the offensive linemen need to bust their tails to keep him safe, what is it?
I think it's going to be a couple of things. I think you're going to see a lot of the game plan that we saw with Malik Willis, obviously not to the same extent and not the design quarterback runs and or as much RPO, but I think he's going to be rusty. I mean, he's coming off of an injury. He hasn't played. It's going to be 3-4 weeks, whatever it is. There's no way that you're going to be as sharp. And from Minnesota's standpoint, I would think you're going to have a lot of screens and quick throws in your game plan to try to mitigate a little bit of what Flores tries to do. And the big thing this week, as is every week, stay normal on your down and distance. Don't get caught up in a bunch of second and longs. And that's where the penalty game and some of that stuff, lost yardage things, you can't get into that because you're playing into Minnesota's hand by getting into all those third and longs. And that's when those blitz packages and those exotic looks can get you. So I think Jordan Love, the key thing, get him some easy throws and try to get him back into some type of rhythm, because he played a full game and then he thought maybe his season was over. Then it's like, okay, I got to rehab and spend all this time. He has a lot on his plate. So try and simplify that. And that's where, if you want to talk to your O-lineman about maybe having that run game at his disposal like Malik did, if that's the case, that makes his job even that much easier, and that he can, you know, kind of combat some of that Flores talk. And I think one of the storylines that I hope you're looking at is how last year the rock bottom point was versus this Minnesota team at Lambeau with the jeering right before this first half ended. That's your low point in the Matt LaFleur era. I hope that's your Sunday story this week.
No, I think Tucker Kraft is the next Mark Chmura is my Sunday story, or Charles Woodson-esque Xavier McKinney has been a difference maker.
So when are you going to put the LaFleur, this is the low, that was the low point of the deal? So, I'm giving it a thumbs up. That's how positive I am on it.
Of course, you won't read it, but it's a great suggestion. I would say this. That is one of the questions that I did not get to yesterday that I would like to get to today. There were other, obviously, we had a lot of Love-related questions that we wanted to ask him. Somebody asked him about Brett. So there were a number of topics that he addressed, but that is, I think that is very interesting that you bring that up. And then, in turn, one of the high points was going in there on a must-win night in Minneapolis and kicking the crap out of him.
It's really a Charles Dickens-type deal. The Minnesota Vikings are the Charles Dickens-type deal for the Green Bay Packers under Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love to this point. And ironically, it's in different cities that the tale of these two cities were lived. That's the beauty of literature and how everything works itself out.
Would you say that there are now great expectations because of that?
Pippi Longstocking would. I know that.
Wait, Pippi Longstocking.
Are we just
Pippi
naming
Longstocking.
We just naming
Pippi Longstocking is the Great Expectations character. Is it not?
I don't know. I've never read Great Expectations.
I thought Pippi Longstockings had her own like series of kids books. Am I mistaken by that?
You're mistaken on that. Yeah.
All right.
I was always confused
Harry
by
Potter. I think.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I was always confused by David Copperfield, because David Copperfield, in my mind, was a magician. But then there's also the book by Charles Dickens. All right, this is all on me. I'm sorry. All because you brought up Charles Dickens.
I'm right about Pippi Longstockings.
Pippi Longstocking is not in Great Expectations.
No, I look it up, and Pippi Longstocking is the fictional main character in a series of children's books. So,
right. I think we can confirm that Tausch is neither a foodie nor a book nerd.
No, but I've never read more in the last... I'm telling you right now, if I had a look back at my 30s, I'd tell you I wish I read more. That's what I wish.
We're going to get to Jeff Love right
Hammering
now.
Hammering out this Steve Jobs bio out on my trip. That's my kind of on my next to-do list.
That is a very thick book, so good luck with that.
Very long.
Pip is the main character in Great Expectations, not Pippi Longstockings.
You don't know how Pip went, okay? You don't know if his friends or her friends called him Pip or Pippi, okay? Pipper. We don't.
All right, Slappy. Let me tell you this. Every time now that Braden Narveson kicks, you know, kind of like when Matt LaFleur said every time Anders Carlson goes out to kick, he's praying. Every time Braden Narveson goes out to kick a field goal, I'm thinking about Special Spaces Wisconsin and what Steinhoffels is doing to honor Special Spaces Wisconsin. They are celebrating their 20 years of creating dream bedrooms for children fighting cancer. And every time a Packers, whether it's Braden Narveson or they make a change later in the year, makes a field goal, it's $1,000 donated by Steinhoffels to Special Spaces. 3 weeks in a row, three made field goals. So they're already racking up the great donations to Special Spaces. And this month, on top of that, when you visit Steinhoffels and test rest a mattress, Steinhoffels will donate $20 to Special Spaces Wisconsin, and you'll get a $20 restaurant reward card. Plus, you'll be entered for a chance to win a pair of tickets to the January Packers game, only at Steinhoffels. Jeff Levering, voice of the Milwaukee Brewers, or one of them, is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch is brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Tito's makes the good stuff for good times. Find recipes, videos, and more at Tito'sVodka.com.
You know, let me start over. Yeah. One of the cool things about being an old man who likes his cable television is that instead of, oh, what am I going to watch? I'm scrolling through ESPN Plus or Disney Plus or Netflix. I'm a channel flipper, right? And so, like, the other night, I caught this great E60 that Jen Latta did about Galarraga's perfect game that Jim Joyce ruined with the missed call.
Mm-hmm.
It was excellent. I would have never seen it otherwise. But one of my favorite things, hey, somebody's dog other than mine for once on Wildy and Tausch. One of my favorite things is to scroll through on a Saturday night and land on a football game that I wouldn't normally watch. Because I hear this guy's voice, though, I stay on it. And that voice belongs to Jeff Levering, who also, on occasion, calls Brewers games on Bally Sports Wisconsin. Jeff, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. I would say on more than one occasion I call Brewers games. I'd say that is the primary position. And that's where I am right now, in lovely, cloudy Pittsburgh at the moment.
Are you capable of talking like a pirate?
Oh, great question.
I've been told that I can talk like a pirate.
So much better than Tausch, who sounds like a leprechaun when he tries.
I always go end up like Jamaican or Irish whenever my pirate voice goes. What's the key to doing a good pirate voice?
I think the key is just don't care about what other people think and just go for it. That's what I do.
Yeah. Ahoy, matey. Aye then, matey.
All right, before we get to Tausch's terrible.
I care about that. That was not good. That was not good. I love you, buddy. That was bad.
That's fair, Jeff. I respect your opinion on that.
I am curious. One, I don't want to call it housekeeping because this is a little bit of a announcer nerd question for you, but it'll help Jesse, which is really all that Jesse cares about on the show. Is there a big difference between your days of calling baseball on the radio and now that you're almost exclusively a TV guy, it feels like. Is there a big difference in how you go about your job?
Yes, there is. There is a different way to call a game on TV as there is on radio, and I find it a bit more difficult to go back to the radio side because your word count expands so much when you're doing radio. And difficult is probably not the right word to say. It's just different. I know it more. I've done more games on radio than I've ever done on television, so it's an easier thing for me to do to go back to the radio style and describing everything, but definitely the word count is down when you do it on TV because people are seeing what you're describing. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to say how many bounces the ball takes to get out to short, you know, as you would on radio to try and get it in the listener's mind's eye, right? You could just say to short, that's it. That's all you have to say. Sort of first got him. That's all you have to do. Whereas on radio, you're describing every play. So there is a difference. Plus, you're doing all nine innings when you're doing TV. You got to work with guys like Vinny Rotino and Tim Dillard and Rock, and you know you're navigating the different personalities. But there is a different style altogether when you're doing TV against radio.
Jeff, how do you look at? And I'm not putting this on anybody, but when somewhat you end up starting to do a new program that has been really good, like dominant over a 5-year period of time. And then someone takes over the pre- and post-game shows of that program on the radio, and then they can't beat anybody. When does it start becoming personal? Like, maybe it's me. Does that ever come into your mind? Because there might be someone on this panel that decided to add more work to their deal, and now this team, which has been a national championship contender for years, is struggling, and there's only one difference that I can tell, and that is who does the pre- and post-game shows.
Yeah, there's a common thread there. You know what? I wouldn't take it personally. I really wouldn't.
All right.
I say that because we have no scratch in it. No matter what we say as broadcasters, pre- and post-game show, in-game, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
I mean, we do not dictate whether the team wins or loses. We
sure.
dictate how entertaining it can be.
Mm-hmm.
But if you feel like you've got a black cloud surrounding you,
yeah,
that sounds like a personal problem more than a team.
Yeah, it almost feels karmically.
You, buddy.
Yeah, there's nobody in particular.
Yeah, okay.
Just a hypothetical. Yeah,
there's no one in particular. Yeah.
All right, Jeff, we need to talk about the Milwaukee Brewers. That's why you're here. We appreciate you taking time out of this gloomy day in Pittsburgh to spend time with us. So let's get to it, and let's start with the start of the season. As you went into this season, you're around this team, you know this team. Did you – I love the quote from Pat Murphy. I don't know who he said it to. It might have been I don't remember. I don't want to give inaccurate credit. Where he said, just watch out. If you're not careful, these guys might believe themselves into being a contender. And that's exactly what happened, and that was said during spring training. What a great story this team is. What did you expect from this season? And then we'll get to what this has done to expectations now for the postseason next. But what did you expect, and how much has this team exceeded it?
Sure. I think that people nationally have underestimated this franchise for a really, really long time. And now here they are going to the postseason for the sixth time in the last 7 years. And Christian Yelich and Brandon Woodruff and Freddie Peralta, they've been around for all of this run right now. And they were recently on the Brewers Unfiltered podcast with Sophia and Adam McAlvey. And, you know, they were talking about it. And it's just everybody counts the Brewers out every year. And but for whatever reason, the guys in the clubhouse, they don't care. Fine. You want to count us out? Well, the heck with you. We're just going to go out and we're going to win again. And the combination has always been a great front office, and the coaching staff has been very consistent. Now, the players have been different, but you have those three guys that are right in the middle of everything of this clubhouse. And they just create such a winning culture in there where everybody belongs. Everybody feels like they have the right role. And they just play their best within this organization. And they've done an unbelievable job of building this culture within this franchise in Milwaukee. And again, I just feel like everybody underestimates this team year in and year out. And then lo and behold, the end of the season, who's waving the championship flag? For three of the last 4 years, it's been the Brewers. This team has played two games since the beginning of the 2017 season that have not had playoff implications. Two total games since the beginning of the 17 season. That tells you what winning is like and what winning culture is all about.
Jeff, it's been a great season. The postseason obviously stands on its own, but what has been the secret sauce for this team? Because you mentioned Yelich has missed time, Williams missed time. What's the secret sauce? Why has this team had the success that they've had, at least into the regular season as it's winding down?
You know, everybody asks me that same question. No matter where we go, whether we see a team within our division or somebody that we haven't seen since spring training or somebody from the American League that trains down in Florida, every broadcaster or visiting writer will always come up to us and say, how is your team winning? Mm. And the greatest question is that it's a collection. It's a group that has just bound together. Yeah, how many teams use 17 different starting pitchers over the course of a season, have 12 different guys that have a save, and win a division? Not many. Not many. Now, the Dodgers have used a bunch of starting pitchers. I get that, too. But they've got more money than Godzilla does. So, I mean, it's incredible. But nonetheless, this team is really a throwback team, to be honest with you. It's 1980s-style baseball where they run, where they put pressure on the defense. That's been the key to the offense. They just put pressure on the defense all the time. The bullpen has been fantastic. You mentioned Devin's been out for the majority of the season, but guys stepped up. It's a bunch of guys that have been designated for assignment over the course of their career, so people have given up on them. And they've got this chip on their shoulder, and I think that's part of the secret sauce, too, is that nobody believes in these guys, and they're getting a second opportunity to prove their worth. And they're going out there, and they are winning a ton of baseball games.
How much money does Godzilla have?
A lot.
The Dodgers have more. The Dodgers have more is what I just learned.
Yeah, I'm so glad you were waiting on that. I was waiting for somebody to go, Godzilla's got a lot of money, huh? That's incredible.
Well, if Godzilla had so much money, why was he destroying cities? Like, I don't fully understand that.
Because he had the money to rebuild the infrastructure.
Fun. Oh, is that what it is?
That was his business plan, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's fun.
Cheap demo.
Fun. I just want to go crush things and take on King Kong.
So, Jeff, our second favorite baseball, Jeff Passan, joined us last week and talked about what a great organization this is and how they've got it figured out. And by the way, they've done it with, you know, as Jeff Passan pointed out, without the owner spending lavishly to augment the roster. So when you look at what Matt Arnold has done with this roster and everything you just ran through, does he deserve the same type of credit that Tausch likes to give to Brian Gutekunst, that he's one of the best when it comes to GMs in this league?
I do think so. And what I love about Matt is he's extremely smart, and he surrounds himself with really smart people. But he has a scouting background to where guys pass the eye test for him. As opposed to just plugging numbers into a computer and spitting out, okay, this is the guy we should have because of this. He can look at somebody and say, this guy's going to fit with us. And that's a big part of it, too. They could go out and they could spend and they could go get a guy that's $20 million a year if they want to. They have the money to do it if they wanted to do that. But does he fit in that clubhouse? And that's something that a scout sees. A scout sees body language. A scout sees how they interact with their teammates. They see how they're going to improve a roster. So for Matt Arnold to have that background, I think is really, really important. But he connects with everybody, too. That's the best part, is that he can go down to that clubhouse and he's spraying champagne on people and pouring beer down people's backs. But then he can also be the boss to have the hard conversation. He relates to everybody in such a great way. Just a refreshing person to talk to. And that's, again, he's been around this entire time. Been here since 2016 when this whole thing started to really get turning. And he really does deserve a ton of credit for what he's put together with this entire front office and coaching staff.
So he's got both the best qualities of Billy Beane in Moneyball and Brad Pitt, and he's like the old curmudgeonly scout that Clint Eastwood plays in Trouble with the Curve. He's like both at once?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. He can just hear it. He can hear the contact, right? The Trouble with the Curve. I can hear that there's something going on there. He just sees it differently. It's a really special combination.
All right, Jeff, last one for me. So how do you look at it? It's been an unbelievable regular season, and I think Brewers fans were all excited about it, but not a ton of postseason success. I think, Jesse, what is it, one win in I don't even know how many years.
Since the NLCS in 2018, one postseason win.
How is this Debbie team, in Downer. Your opinion, positioned to change that past history that we've seen the last couple of years?
I just think that this team is constructed differently. When you look at last year's team, they had the pitching, but the offense was suspect, and that played out over the course of the postseason. Kind of the same thing in 2021. Whereas the offense is more dynamic this year. You might not have all the sluggers, but you can score in different types of ways. You may not have the starters that you had in the past, but your bullpen might be more stacked with guys that can help you out at the back end of the game or in the middle of the game to bridge you to the back end guys. I just feel like that the Brewers match up. They can match up with anybody, and they have proven that over the course of the regular season. They can go out there and they can beat the best teams, and they can be competitive with everybody. So that's what I'm kind of hanging my hat on going into the postseason. I think that this squad, especially, you're going to have some home games too. The worst the Brewers can be is in that number three seed. So playing in front of the fans in Milwaukee is such a bonus for these guys too. One of the best home records in Major League Baseball for the last 10 years, and that's a credit to the fans and to the organization. But I just feel like this team's got a different feel to it this year going into the playoffs than it has in the past.
All right, Jeff, before we let you go, what are the keys to that big matchup between Maryland and Indiana that you and Jake Butt will be calling on Saturday?
Great quarterback play. It's a really sneaky good game, too. I mean, Indiana is putting up 50 points a game, and Maryland's playing good football. Billy Edwards can sling it. I understand it. The weather looks kind of crappy on Saturday, so we'll see how that slows down some of these high-powered offenses. But it should be good. I've never done a football game in Indiana before, so I'm excited to go down to Bloomington. Actually, flying out after the game today to go to Bloomington.
Have you done a lot of games with Jake Butt?
This will be my fifth game with Jake, yes.
Okay. And have you ever listened to...
Go ahead.
No. You go.
This is my first year on the on this Big Ten package with Jake, so we've done 4 weeks so far. This is week five for us.
So you've always helped Jesse, who really, you know, I'm surprised that he doesn't think that he's the one who should be helping you. But I'm curious, you know, Tausch obviously does the radio for the Badgers. I'm curious, what do you look for in a color analyst? And if Tausch ever wants to make the jump to TV, because you do both, would you be interested in maybe doing a game with old T?
Oh, I'd love to do a game with Tausch. That'd be a lot of fun.
He will wear CC Sabathia's pants in the booth with you, too.
Yes, yes, the sweatpants. Those are the best. Just make sure you wear a hat that has at least 20 years' worth of age on it for me. That's the key. No, just go in prepared. That's all I care about. We're going to have a good time. That's all it is. It's football, it's baseball, whatever it is. Just go have a good time. Sport, it's supposed to be fun.
Jeff, I will try not to randomly text you during games, which I tend to do every time I hear your voice. It's Pavlovian, like the dog at Tausch's house right now. We appreciate you a ton, and we look forward to the playoff run. You're the best, buddy. Thanks for your time.
Appreciate you guys. You're the best. Have a great one.
That is the outstanding Jeff Levering. I am curious, would you ever want to do TV?
I've done a little bit. I don't know. Radio's just better. And I know Jeff was talking about you have to describe more. And I'm built for radio.
And foodies. We'll shift gears. Is that Barry that's barking, or is that Walter the farting dog?
So I can't tell. Can you tell when I'm muting and you can't hear it, or does the muting not matter?
No, I mean, if you hit the mute button,
I think
and the
doing
dog
a poor
barks,
job muting.
We don't hear them.
Yeah, I've been muting it because I don't know what is going on with that dog today. It's barking like a dog.
That's what dogs do. Yeah, the delivery. Good line.
Thanks.
I would say this. You can't mute it when you're talking. And if the dog barks while you're talking, we're going to hear the dog.
No, it's been barking a lot. So I just wanted to make sure.
So it's working when you mute.
These dogs are barking.
I can't talk and mute. I don't
Correct.
Think that's doable. So,
which
yeah.
is why we hear the dog when you're talking. This has been How the Muting Button Works on Wildy and Tausch. Let's play trivia, shall we? Jesse, what's today's category? What caller would you like?
Yar, shiver me timbers.
Oh, no.
X marks the postseason.
Can we get Leverick back to ask Tausch's question?
If he be caller number whatever we're asking for, then he could be the contestant for today.
You've got caller 14 for some random reason.
14 seems like a fun number to say.
I'll say this. Bane and your pirate are your top level.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Now, voices.
His John Gruden's his best, but he's scared off.
We retired John Gruden because he walked the plank a couple of years ago.
What if he comes back as a coach? Will you then bring him back?
Probably not. There might be no, I don't see that happening, actually, no.
This guy.
I could do Pirate Gruden. Here's a guy who is a pretty good player in the pocket.
I just want to point out, because I wanted to look up which game Jeff was doing. I went to 506 Sports. Tom Brenneman, who famously used a gay slur and went over the air, and then his apology was interrupted by a home run. And there's a swing and a drive.
I'm not sure I ever be putting this headset on again.
He's doing games again. He's doing the Northern Illinois NC State game on the CW. So John Gruden could be back, which would allow you to bring his voice back. That's all I'm saying at some point. In the interim,
it doesn't mean it's any good still.
Caller 14, 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. Caller 14 for Wildy and Tausch Trivia. We will play next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
I say, hey, I'll be gone today, but I'll be back from around the way. It seems like everywhere I go, the more I see, the less I know. But I know one thing.
Time for trivia. Let's welcome in our contestants. Now, how many aces do we have?
Stoughton,
mm-hmm.
Mount Horeb,
at
least two.
I think that's all, but there was a third at like a one-time texter from somewhere in the southeast part of the state.
Mm. Oh. We got pocket aces at least, right? That's two of them, right? You got pocket aces, that's two. Big. Yeah. I'm as much of a poker guy as you are as a foodie. Well, actually, you're more of a foodie than I'm a poker guy. Let's welcome in Ace in Mount Horeb. Ace, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Jasonator, Toshinator. What's going on, boys?
Oh, my God, Jasonator. Atta babe, atta babe.
All right, Jasonator. It is pirate trivia. And so we've made the command decision since taking up residency in California, not done any of trivia, that Jesse, with his outstanding pirate voice and his outstanding pirate jokes, is going to take questions 1 and 3. And this here scallywag, myself, I'll take question 2. And the Jamaican-Irish pirate can just sit back and listen to the program. So, Jesse, without further ado, I turn the show over to you.
If Tausch is lucky, I don't think the Packers play the Buccaneers, and he happens to be away from a show sheet for when the Brewers play the Pirates. He's going to go 8-9 months before having to do this again.
That's not a win for him. That's a win for our listeners.
Good one, Jason.
Yeah, sick bird, bro.
Ace, I do have one question for you before we get started, if that's okay.
Talk to me, Jesse. What's up?
Since we're talking about pocket aces, why couldn't the pirate play cards?
Because he was an idiot.
No, that's not why. That's a terrible answer.
I don't know.
Because the captain was standing on the deck, of course.
Oh, there you go.
pretty sure Ace stole your thunder there.
Very, very blunt.
You caught Ace totally off.
Next time, just say you don't know, okay? It makes it better. Question number one, Ace in Mount Horeb. Ahoy, matey. Which of these be the pirate who is both the antagonist of the classic novel Treasure Island and the name of a fast food restaurant?
Pippi Longstocking.
That's not it. Is it Long John Silver? Ronald
Long
McDonald?
John Silver.
Wait a minute, I didn't get to the good one. You're ruining it again. Or Arby's?
It wasn't that good.
Oh, burn.
You're not that good.
Yeah, wow.
Good comeback.
Jeez.
Yeah, good comeback. Yeah, there you go.
It was Long John Silver's. He's right.
Yep. Question two.
I quit.
You can't. You got to come back for question three because Tausch doesn't have the questions. Arr, shiver me timbers, Ace. Which of these scallywags be a real player currently on the Pittsburgh Pirates roster? Is it a Dennis Santana, a Nick Gonzalez, or Tom Ramirez?
That would be the first one.
Would it be, though?
Yar,
Jesse,
I'm actually overworked and wrote the question wrong at 12:15 last night. Wait a minute. This is a real rough trivia for this pirate.
What, so, were all three of them pirates?
No, it turns out the one I highlighted was the only one who's not a real pirate. I wrote the question totally wrong.
Oh my god.
Nice.
Dennis Santana got the save last night. Nick Gonzalez got the start. He's a position player. Tom Ramirez is made up.
Okay. There you go. Good job. Good job.
I can't wait for question three now.
This is one of the worst showings in a long time.
Oh,
turns out I'm the idiot.
Jesse's the mistakenator.
I didn't say you guys were idiots.
Question three, Ace in Mount Horeb. Land ho! Which of these be an island off the coast of Haiti, which was a popular pirate haven in the 12th century where many pirates would plan raids and divide their loot? Is it St. Martin, Tortuga, or Christmas Island?
It's gotta be Tortuga.
That's not how you say it. Tortuga.
Tortuga.
And ye be right.
There you go. I don't think you could make that one up.
What a showing.
I didn't particularly enjoy this trivia as much as some others.
Jesse, did you have any other questions for Ace before we let him go with all four entries?
I probably shouldn't, but I do. Actually, I do have one more, Ace, if you don't mind.
Back to me, Jesse.
Because they're idiots.
Do it better this time. Why are pirates great singers?
Why are pirates great singers?
This is where you say, I don't know. Why?
I guess I don't know, Jesse.
Why are pirates great singers? Because they can hit the high seas.
Nice.
With a well, you finished strong. Just like Ace. Ace, perfect score today. You got four entries into Friday's drawing. We appreciate you. We appreciate your loyalty to the show. And we appreciate you making it difficult on Jesse today. That was really fun. Thanks, Aceinator.
You got it, Jesse. You got it. Hey, Toshinator.
Yes, sir.
When you coming back to town? When you coming back to town?
Hopefully soon. I'll be back hopefully soon.
Okay,
soon.
We're missing you, buddy.
Doesn't sound like much of a commitment.
Maybe he is going to be a California resident. Thanks, Ace.
You're the best. You guys are the best.
We will. Thank you. We appreciate that. We've got Charles Woodson scheduled to appear at 11 a.m. We've got all kinds of fun stuff planned for the 10 o'clock hour. That's coming up in 2 minutes. Want to remind you, though, that if you are thinking about switching banks, I know that in your mind you're thinking, God, that's going to be a pain. I got to change all my auto pays and everything else. Well, it's worth the switch to Associated Bank because they have the best customer service in the industry. They've got the awards to prove it. And on top of that, you can get Brewers checking, celebrate your NL Central champions. You can get Badgers checking, you know, maybe celebrate a win over the USC Trojans this week. Or you can get Packers checking. They're the original bank of the Packers. They've got all those options for you. Go to AssociatedBank.com to find out more. The 10 o'clock hour starts in 2 minutes. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.